nobody like the God we serve. Come on now. I know y'all can, you can do better than that. Amen. 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 He's worthy of all praise, just like the deacons just sung. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you today about being made whole. Being made whole. A lot of times in life, we look for things that can complete us and find out that sometimes those things, matter of fact, those things will never complete us. There's only one thing. Just focus on him. Speak to him. Let him know how good he is. How awesome he is. How mighty he is. How great he is. Now, we can't move into what he has done because we know that he gave his only begotten son. Now, he did something. He gave his only begotten son that you and I may have life. And that we may have it more abundantly. But let's get into the place of worship. Worshiping him. Oh God, you are great. You are my sustainer. You are the first. You are the last. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're an awesome God. You are a mighty God. Come on, this is heaven. What is he? Even the word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So he loves it when we speak about his goodness and who he is. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Father, we come to you right now. Just submitting ourselves to you. Oh, Lord, we want to give you all of us, not part of us. We want to turn our entire lives over to you. Understanding that you work with us physically, but most importantly, spiritually. So, God, as we submit ourselves, as we yield to you, as we give ourselves to you, we ask that you take total control of our lives. We don't want to come to you partially. We want to give you all of us. So right now, Lord, we just turn ourselves over to you, giving you all of us. Oh God, we thank you. We love you and we adore you because it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to look at the topic of being made whole. And the text, we're going to come from Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Y'all excuse me, this thing don't have a battery in it. So we're going to look at Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. And it reads, verses 11 through 14 says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said to him, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, they were cleansed. Now notice in the text, it says that there were 10 lepers. 9 of these lepers were Jews. And one was a Samaritan. And that Samaritan was a stranger. He was a foreigner to the Jews. And that word stranger or foreigner means that he was different than them. In our day, it might be that 9 of them may have been black and one was white. Or on the other hand, 9 of them could have been Caucasian and one was black. But one was different than the rest of them. So it was not unusual for these lepers to congregate with one another because they were outcasts. They were outcasts from society at large and had no company other than themselves. So they stood afar off. Now, even in this day, when people have the same situations or have in society when they're downcast, it doesn't matter what race they are, sometimes they're lumped together. They'll come together as one. These outcasts who society had put aside, they all came together. So at this point, it didn't matter what their ethnicity was. They came together. And even in our times, people could be white, black, or what have you. They'll come together if they have something that's plaguing them.
All right.
Even if you look at Capitol Hill and you look at how they were fighting over the health bill, if you look at when they were protesting, there were people who were in wheelchairs or who had illnesses. They all came together. And it didn't matter what their race was. But the Bible says they stood afar off, these lepers. So you see, they had a disease. Even Naaman was a leper. He was a leper. They had this disease, and they had to stay together. They had to stay about 150 feet away from everybody else. No one would even come near them because of their situations. So they kept their distance. They could not come no more than 150 feet within anyone else because they were forbidden by the laws and the customs of that time. And everyone else, all of the people who thought that they were pure, stayed away from these individuals. Sometimes we even think we're so pure, we're so holy, we can't come around people who are really in need and who need help. We are so self-righteous at times that we look down on certain people or certain groups. So the Bible says that they stood afar off. They kept their distance. But Jesus came in the midst. As he was passing through, the word says that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The words diameson, are best translated. He came through the middle of or between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. Here Jesus is on his way to be crucified. But tradition and law is saying that you can't do anything to help these people. Stay away from them because of what plagues them. Jesus being different and radical than everyone else, he comes in the midst. Because he didn't care about traditions or religion. He cared about souls. He was concerned about their spirits and what was going to happen to them. The Bible says that, and they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, how did these lepers know that Jesus would have mercy on them? Well, the reason why they knew this is because in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4, there was another leper. There was another leper, and Jesus touched him and healed him and made him whole. So what happened is they saw that Jesus, if he comes in the midst, he can heal or deliver anyone from anything that plagues them. He healed the blind woman. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. So he can heal anybody. He can deliver anybody. It doesn't matter what we are plagued with. Jesus is a healer. And he is a deliverer. But as they prayed and said, have mercy, Jesus heard what they had asked him. Have mercy on us, Lord. We know that you had mercy on this other leper previously. You had mercy on him, so have mercy on us as well. Look at our condition. Look at how society has downcast us. And as I mentioned before, when we have these miseries or these things plaguing us in life, that goes on in our nation and in our country, these prejudices, those things vanished when they all came together. Because we all are going through something in life. We're all going through some sort of situation. So as they prayed and asked Jesus to have mercy on them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. It was remarkable that Jesus asked them to go to the priest while they were still lepers. Even in their condition, he said, go, show yourselves. Now that is a condition. That is an exclamation. Go. He said, go, you have to do something. In this case, he said, go. Now, in many cases in the Bible, he didn't tell anyone to go. He just healed them right there on the spot. But here, you notice that he says, go. Sometimes in life, he may not heal you right then, but he might tell you to go and do something about your situation.
That's all right.
And that is the case with these men. He says, go. Show yourselves unto the priest. And as I said, notice, Jesus did not touch them as he did previously with the leper in Matthew, the 8th chapter. This was truly stepping out in faith. As in putting on the new man, even when we still look and feel like the old man. So you have to step out in faith and believe and trust in God, trust in Jesus. And sometimes you just have to go and do exactly what he says. Because he's not going to lay hands on you all times and correct whatever that illness is right at that point. But in this case, as I mentioned, you have to step out in faith. The one condition of healing was obedience. There had to be some obedience here. If he was the master and they had cried he was, then let them prove their faith by their obedience. We have to prove our faith by obedience. As Jesus speaks something to us, we have to prove it by our obedience. We even spoke about that today in Sunday school when looking at Abraham. Now, we know that God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But he had to step out in faith. Even though he doubted, he wavered, God spoke the word to him and promised to him that he would be the father. Yes. And Abram said, I don't have a son. I'm childless right now.
All right.
He began to doubt. And sometimes in our lives, when God has promised us something, we tend to get sidetracked. We get sidetracked and want to do things our way.
Right.
And now, because of what Abram did, he slept with another woman. He had another child.
That's right.
And that was out of God's will.
That's right.
He suffered the consequences, but God said it was counted to him as righteousness. See, God got him back into his providential plan and still had a nation blessed after him.
Say the word.
So I'm saying this to say that even when you get out of line with God, when you get back in step with him, he'll still finish that plan in which he already had for you.
Amen. That's all right. Thank you, Lord.
But there were consequences.
That's right.
Now, I didn't say go do something out of his will, try to stand his will, because there are always consequences when we get out of his will.
Amen.
We have to be obedient to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're working now. Amen. I can move now. There you go. But he had to get back in God's plan. He had to be obedient. The word says they went and they showed themselves. And so it was that as they went, notice what the word says, as they went, see, they were cleansed. They had to take a step forward in order to be cleansed. Sometimes God would tell us to do something, we don't move at all. We stay flat-footed and nothing happens. And we wonder why. But he said, as they went, they were cleansed. Just as God blessed the faith of the lepers to step out as the new man, even when they feel like the old man, so will he bless our faith. So as we move, he will bless our faith. As we move, he will bless our faith. And he did it when they made a step forward. They had to begin to walk in faith to see he was working in their lives. So now we get to verses 15 and 19. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. Come on, let's just give God a hand of glory. Let's just give God a hand of praise. Not only did he give a loud praise to God, he fell down on his feet, giving him thanks as well. And see, I asked y'all to do that in another service. You see, I shouldn't have to pump prime you up to give God a hand of praise or a hand of glory or thank him or magnify him. You need to come in here ready to do that on your own. And see, one of them did this. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9?
were there not any found who return to give glory to God except this stranger, this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. See, one of them, when he saw that he was healed and with a loud voice gave glory to God, only one came back to give thanks. And he was the unlikely one. You see, that one that you think that's not giving them thanks, that's the unlikely one, and they're normally giving God the praise for what he has done in their life. You see, he was the Samaritan, the rest of them were Jews. And though he was the only one, at least he was very loud in giving thanks to God. Come on, let's just give God a hand of praise. Come on now. I don't want to pump you. I don't want to prime you, but just give God a hand of praise for who he is in your life. See, it's your relationship with him. It's not about me and you. It's you and him. Come on, let's just praise him for who he is. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. And there's nobody like him. One of them came back. See, all 10 were willing to do religious ceremonies. Many times we're willing to do religious stuff. That is good to the priest. See, you're not doing this for the pastor. This is your relationship with God. And so you have to have that intimate relationship with him. But one did something a little different. Only one turned back. See, he didn't even go to the priest. The word says that as they went, this one from Samaria, he turned back. He didn't even go to the priest because the law was that they can come to the priest. But Jesus is showing them something different. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to come to pastor. You can go to God for yourself. Only one of them turned back. Now watch this now. Watch this. Only one turned back. He became a priest because he began to praise and worship God for who he was and for who he is in his life. He became a priest. He became a true worshiper, a true praiser. That's why we enter into his gates with what? And enter into his courts with? And then we go into worship. So as you come in here, you already come in here with a mind to worship God. Everything else, you need to leave it outside. Clear your minds of the thoughts that you have about me or about anyone else. Come in with a mind ready to praise and worship God. Don't worry about no auxiliaries in here. Don't even focus on me. Focus on the word. Don't focus on the choirs. Many people come to church to hear choirs sing. Many come to hear the pastor preach. But you come to hear the word. That is what gets you into worship with God. So that one, he turned back. And he gave God thanks. And Jesus says, I wonder where the rest of them are. See, Jesus, unlike me, understood their lack of gratitude. I might not understand, but he understands. He understands the conditions of our hearts. He understands our intents. He understands our motives. He knows everything. He's omniscient, meaning he knows everything. He knows the intents of your heart and my heart. So he said, What happened to the rest of them? What happened to the rest of them? Why did they really come? He asked a rhetorical question. He knew. He knew. He asked the question. He knew the answer. A lot of times in life, people will ask you stuff, and they already know the answer. They just checking to see what you're going to say. You ever ask your kids something? Who broke this? You already know who did it. You just want them to what? Confess. And it's the same way with us. He knows what we're doing. He wants us to what? Confess. He understood that one came back. He confessed. He was grateful. He appreciated what Jesus had done for him. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Why is it every time when Jesus is using parables or writing, it's to me when I look at the Bible and look at a lot of things, I always look at it like this, that quality is better than quantity. He started with 12. He didn't need a whole bunch to get to where he was going. He'll start with the least and increase. But only one was grateful for what Jesus had done in their life. See, the other 9, they did. Now, all of them got healed. Now, watch this. See, but you got to understand, there's a physical healing and there's a spiritual healing. And a lot of people look for physical healings. Now, both of them are good. I want both. Let me enunciate. So 9 basically was looking for what could happen to them physically. What could he do for me physically? And a lot of times we are taught, even in churches, what God can do for us physically. And that's why you have to read through what the word says. Yes, it's okay to have a physical healing, whatever it may be. It's nothing wrong with it because God is a whole God. Holistically, he's looking at us holistically. Body, soul, and spirit. Although the body is going to go away, but right now while we're in it, we still need to feed it. We still need to clothe it. Just like the spirit man, we need to feed him and clothe him. But a lot of times we tend to focus on the outward more so than the inward. And see, 9 of them, that was their focus. It was about, like, what can you do for me? What's in it for me? We got to get away from that what's in it for me attitude. Because if it's more than about you, it doesn't matter what happens. But when it's about you, we see what happens. So it has to be about him. 9 of them were focused on what was in it for them. But one was made whole. Physically and spiritually. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what he says in the word? Your faith has made you well. See, there was an extra healing for the 10th leper. When Jesus said this, he likely meant God's working within the man's heart. You see, there was some working in this man's heart. His heart was changed. His heart was changed. We could come in here every Sunday. Hear great sermons, great singing, but if our heart's not changed, so our heart, the condition of our heart has to be changed. Nothing's going to change this nation with tearing down these statues. It doesn't change a person's heart. Even sometimes with these protests, the heart, although they come together for various reasons, the heart has to be changed in all of these individuals. If that doesn't change, it doesn't matter. We could hold our fists up. We could kneel at when the flags. I got something about that. We're going to do that on Veterans Day. But it's all about the heart. And when that is changed, then we change. Because culture teaches us all of these rituals or what they expect or what the nation expect. But we come in and we teach what the Word of God says. And that last leper, the Samaritan, the different one, he was different. And so what that means is sometimes you may be different than everybody else that's around you. But you have to stand on what the Word of God says. You can't, and we can't compromise. So the other lepers had whole bodies, but sick hearts. But the one was made whole spiritually. Have you been made whole spiritually? Have you received salvation? Or is this just routine or a ritual? Or because mama did it or daddy did it? We got to be made whole, complete in Christ, not in no people. Jesus is the one only human who came and was whole. He was without sin. Although he is God, he became man and didn't sin. Perfect example of what we're trying to be like. He demonstrated it. He was the perfect sacrifice for every last one of us. He loved us so much that he died on Calvary's cross for each one of us. And he told, he can make us complete. He could change us if we give ourselves over to him completely. Give him everything. Give him your all. Not part of you. He wants all of you. He says, submit and yield to me. Take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Making disciples. He wants disciples, not church members. That's a little deeper than church members, disciples, being just like him. When I say like him, trying to be like him. That's what he wants. That's why he died. Try to be more like him. Look at him as the example. Follow him. We'll open the doors of the church. There may be somebody here today, and you have never given your life to Christ. You've never said, Jesus, just like this leper, Lord, have mercy on me. Come into my life. I would like for you to be my master. I would like for you to be my savior. If you're my master, that means that you're in charge of me. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to yield to you. Jesus even demonstrated. He said he didn't even come to be served. He came to serve. So we have to have a spirit of serving others, not lording ourselves over people. He says he came to serve. He died serving us. He's still serving us. Is there one who have never given your life to Christ? There may be someone here today. You know your fellowship hasn't been the way it used to be. And if you would like to come for restoration, then again, there may be someone looking for a place to worship. A place to worship. All of us need a place to worship. It's a lie for those people who feel that they can be out there isolated by themselves. See, even when the church was first formed in the book of Acts, they came and they had fellowship. Why? So that they can hold each other up. Because each and every one of us are going to go through something where we need others in Christ to be there with us. Amen. Let's make our way up for prayer for all that can come forward.